Dawn Felton, defiant daughter of Fenton and Alice, girlfriend of Honest. Chapter 2. The Pretend Pirate Woos the Women's Libber. Today is my birthday, and I'm waiting at the entrance to Aquarius Harbor for the handsome and charming Honest Abernathy, who dresses like a pirate and has more than enough low life in him to infuriate my father. Where I grew up, in the Sausalito Hills, I looked down on this colorful houseboat flotilla from my bedroom balcony. My father calls it a shanty town crawling with deadbeat wharf rats, and I never expected I would one day meet the self-proclaimed leader of those wharf rats. Despite Honest's looks and his sweet-talking, I am determined to break up with him today, except that he's promised me a birthday present that will blow my mind. He asked me to meet him here so he could walk me to his houseboat for the presentation, whatever that means. But he doesn't respect me. And he's late. I'm afraid the present will be a sex toy, like a vibrator. I tell myself, no, he wouldn't. And then I think, yes, he might. Up close, the houseboats are more colorful than they appear from the hills, but they also look more run down and ramshackle. Some are adorable, like the small barge with the old Winnebago painted red. The whale house is wild, too. It started as a railroad car, and on the siding, some artist sculpted a whale breaching the surface. But many of the houseboats are butt ugly, lashed together with nails and rope and tarps. Finally, Honest shows, strutting toward me in his tacky pirate costume, his long, curly red hair tied back with a black headscarf. Oh, I would kill for his hair. His sword bounces against his thigh in a scabbard, hanging from his shiny belt. "You look ridiculous," I say. He shrugs. He pretends not to care what I think, and he is, in his own mischievous way, rakish and sexy. I don't tell him that. He already thinks too highly of himself.
"Far out,"
he says.
"If it isn't Dawn, my beautiful, bourgeois, naughty birthday girl."
He leans in for a kiss, but I hold him back. "One," I say, "I'm not yours. Two, just because I play golf doesn't mean I'm bourgeois. And three, I am not a girl." I smile, but with attitude.
"Right,"
he says.
"Women's lib, right on. I love how liberated you are, babe. I mean, woman. But wait, you're too gorgeous to be a feminist."
I roll my eyes, but we're walking side by side now on the rickety dock, and he can't see my face. Maybe I'll let him get away with some sweet talk. But a real feminist wouldn't tolerate Honest sexism. "If my father sees me with you," I say, "he will freak." The walkways connecting the landing to the houseboats are treacherous. Rotten piles, unexpected gaps, undependable railings, plus electrical and phone lines strung between posts like linguine. Plenty of places to trip and land in the mudflats. The stench is tolerable today. It's a warm, hazy afternoon, and a gentle bay breeze dilutes the smell. The houseboaters claim they collect their human waste in buckets or holding tanks and dispose of it legally at the Gate 7 Marina. But I know plenty of them, including Honest, especially Honest, who dump their shit in the bay. There's also the lovely perfume of orange blossoms in the mix from the dwarf trees in clay pots that line the entrance to the harbor. Honest starts walking faster, leaving me behind. A speedboat darts across the bay, heading toward Angel Island. "Hey, slow down," I say, running to catch up. "Maybe it will be you my father will kill," I add. A wave crashes into the wobbly dock, and we lose our balance and fall into each other. I'm tempted to kiss him, but I don't.
I wouldn't blame him.
He pulls me to my feet.
Your father?
I brush off flakes of peeling paint from my jacket. You promised to fix the railing like a month ago. What do you mean you wouldn't blame my father? He takes my hand, genuflects, and kisses my fingers.
Because I am not only going to stop your father and his greedy cronies from evicting us and building his luxury marina, I am going to corrupt you so bad, turn you into a fire-breathing revolutionary flying your freak flag high. And like Malawat about the railing, I'll handle it tomorrow.
And you imagine yourself the leader of this houseboat resistance?
What's wrong with that?
He asks. You think you're Huey Newton leading the Black Panthers? You think your houseboat protest is like Native Americans occupying Alcatraz? You're not a serious person. You're a hippie goofball pretend pirate. You're a satire of yourself. Plus, you're a lying, womanizing, sexist pig. Honest tilts his head, as if confused.
I wish you would tell me what you really think.
Not to mention you pour your foot powder into your boots with a serving spoon, I add. I know you're dealing with fungus and cracked skin, but I smell that damn stuff a block away.
I am a serious person,
he says.
But I play a clown. I play a pirate to win attention for our cause, which I've done.
You could have fooled me. I don't get how such a goofball carries himself with so much confidence. If it's all an act, how is he so convincing? In all my relationships at Brown, I was in charge. The boys were all intimidated by me, every single one. Not honest. Could that be why I'm attracted to him? It's more than just because my father disapproves. But he's not a keeper. I know that. We stop at the town square of Aquarius Harbor, where the main dock opens up into six arms that snake into Richardson Bay, like tree limbs reaching toward the sun. No architect could possibly have drawn up such a cockamamie plan. There was no plan. A brass band practices on a big gray concrete barge with a cabin on it as tiny as an outhouse. That's where Honest's friend Mickey lives. And there he is, sunk deep in a lawn chair, waving his trombone. He whistles at us and shouts,
"Hey, hey, Honest! Hubba hubba! Afternoon delight!"
I ignore him. The seagulls swoop low on the water. An orange buoy clangs in the waves. "And don't pretend that running for city council turns you into a statesman," I say, once we turn and make our way down the dock toward Honest's Ferry. "You have no intention of winning. It's a publicity stunt."
"You say that like it's a bad thing,"
he says with a dopey grin, like the golden lab we had when I was younger. I smile, then scowl. He's exasperating. Though I love the carefree way he laughs, like somehow, despite his tragic life story, he gets a kick out of everything and is not tortured like you'd expect. "You are the exact opposite of what my father would wish for me," I say. He holds up three fingers.
"Other than the handsome, brilliant, and ambitious part?"
You forgot humble," I say. He slaps his hand on his forehead.
"If I were humble, I would have never had the balls to chase you. If I were humble, I'd think you were too good for me."
"I am too good for you," I say. "At last, something we agree on."
"You don't want me to be good,"
he says.
"You wouldn't love me if your father didn't hate me."
When I break up with Honest, if I break up with Honest, I will no longer have the pleasure of defying my father. Though I don't have to tell him. I am smart enough not to make important life decisions because of what my father thinks. I will not be like my mother, whose only mission in life these days is vengeance against him. I have such wretched role models. No wonder I'm a mess. Every day, I wish I were back east in graduate school. But no, my mother begged me to come home after she kicked my father out. There's Honest's big old wooden ferry up ahead, with two cabins and a garden on the deck. One last rickety section of dock to navigate. I lower my voice, though there's no one around. Speaking of my father, I say, I hear he's coming after you, soon, evicting all of you at Aquarius Harbor. Soon, as in tomorrow or Tuesday.
The capitalists are always about to evict us,
he says.
I refuse to live in fear. I just want to groove on good vibes and wow you with my birthday present.
You're not listening, I say. Plus, my father keeps pressuring me to work for the family business. He won't let up.
Just so you know,
he says,
I'd be enthralled by you even if you weren't your father's daughter.
Would you? I lift my chin and sniff. If you want me, no more dumping your sewage in the bay. And don't give me crap about tides cleaning it up. You know that's industry propaganda.
But you love the tides,
he says.
The magical way they move in and out by the pull of the moon.
He waves his arms in this woo-woo way, making fun of me again.
And you told me that when king tides wash onto industrial shorelines, they carry pollution back into the bay, and that shit is nothing by comparison.
I do love the tides, and I do understand why Honest loves to live on the water. When I still adored my father, he used to take me out on his yacht, and we would sail under the bridge into the ocean, and that hooked me. But this is a slum. These houseboaters defile the very bay they profess to revere. I know. Humans have been dumping our crap in rivers and lakes and bays since forever, but we know better now. And finally, we have laws like the Clean Water Act. Your ship might not amount to much, I say, but the water is already polluted. Are you part of the solution or part of the problem?
Look, you rag on me for my revolution rhetoric,
he says.
But look at you up on your ecology soapbox. Oh, I forgot. You're going to be a doctor of marine biology.
He raises his fist.
We're pirates. Arrgh. Pirates don't care about sewage.
He lowers his fist and takes my hand, gently.
Now close your eyes. Time for your birthday surprise.